Also, of course, if you want to ask a question or have a comment, just raise your hand. We have microphones up there and down here. Just take your time and yeah. Was that? Yeah.
Thank you. What was the attitude of the Thai authorities when you started to shoot the film? Because that is, it's a topic that is very much shaming the Thai authorities.
Well, they didn't know we were making the film, so we had to be quite, I'm not going to say secretive. The film was shot mostly in Cambodia. There's actually some shots from Thailand that we got as well, but we could never make this film in Thailand because of obvious reasons. They didn't know much. I'm not sure whether they'll ban the film. We just have to wait and see. But yeah.
Hello.
For those who did escape, did they escape as you showed in the film, that they killed the crew, or how did they do it?
Some people, most of the guys that I interviewed were from a few years ago. There was about 500 survivors found on Benjina Island in Indonesia, and most of them were being repatriated at the time that I was kind of doing the research. So that was where most of the interviewees came from. In terms of like rebelling against the captain and that, it was a story that didn't come up a lot, but it's certainly there was probably a handful of stories about Cambodians and Burmese rebelling against the captain, and most of them were unsuccessful, and the consequences of which were really devastating, like even worse than what's shown kind of in the film. So yeah.
I think there was a question up there.
Hello. Hi. First, I want to say thank you for the film and for speaking for those who has no voice. I wonder, those people who told you their stories, did they watch the film? And what was the reaction? And I also want to ask if the situation is improving.
This is the first time the film's screened. We only finished it just not long, like probably 8 weeks ago or something like that. So we haven't had much time to show it yet. But yeah, I'll go. Like, I wanted to make the film, you know, not only to kind of bring exposure for an international audience, but also for those back in Cambodia. Sam, our young lead actor, and his dad are going to travel around with the film in Cambodia. And take it to those kind of more remote and vulnerable communities where this happens more, and take it to them and show them and talk about it. It was Sam's dad, his best friend got killed in Thailand in the fishing industry, so it's something that's very close to them. What was the second part of the question? I forgot.
If it improved the situation.
Oh, the situation. Yeah. So. Yet Thailand's been issued with a yellow card for their labour practices in the fishing industry from the European Union. That was a couple of years ago now. So yeah, it's really hard to gauge how much it's improving, because the Thai authorities will tell you that there's no issue at all, but in reality it's still going on. But to what level, it's very hard to measure, because Thailand's very protective with what they reveal about what's happening, and they just kind of pretend that it's not happening as well. So it's kind of really hard to gauge, but I think it is gradually improving. Yeah.
There was one question in the back, then there, and then a couple of more.
Why did you choose a 40-year-old as a main character instead of a family father or an adult?
I think it just provided, for me, what happened with a lot of these guys, Well, a lot of kids actually get put on trawlers for a start, and I thought, you know, it's an age where you're incredibly impressionable, and, you know, he's just becoming a man, and for me, his life is compromised and his innocence is lost from such a young age, and for me, you know, that emotional growth that he's experiencing becoming a man, but also which direction he's going to be taking in life, for me was kind of the best window of insight into this world and what he was facing and how he was going to survive and if he was going to retain his humanity. So for me, it was this was a really critical age to show the audience a window into this world.
Maybe connecting to this, how was it to work with him because he's underage, so to say, and how did it work on the shoot, special difficulties, or how do you?
Well, firstly, he's just an amazing kid. He's so intuitive and natural, and he was 14 years old when we shot the film, and we were asking him, well, I was asking him to do a lot emotionally with where we were taking the character. So we had to be, you know, incredibly supportive of him and, you know, make sure that when he's playing the character, he can switch off, you know, straight away and he feels safe and just supported on set. And he was amazing and, yeah, he was a pleasure to work with. And, the filming process was challenging. We're filming on water and there's language barriers and all sorts of things going on, but he was incredible. Yeah.
In the back and then over at the front.
Hey, first of all, thank you for this movie. I think it was very well shot, but I hope you allow me to be honest. My question is, what was your agenda to transport to the audience? Because you showed us the protagonist who went through shit all over the movie, and in the end he killed out of rage and hatred, and so clearly there's not really a positive moral to it. And otherwise, if you wanted to tell an intense story, it didn't really work for me, because after he killed his colleague, I didn't really care for him anymore. Was your agenda just to show the problem of torture and slavery in the fishing industry?
I think for a start, like reducing the film to killing out of hatred, for me is a relatively superficial way of looking at it. For me, it's about survival. So that's where that emotion kind of came from.
I didn't mean the killing of the crew. I meant the killing of his colleague.
Yeah, well, what that colleague is doing, the other worker, is he was stripping him of everything he had left, which is, you know, food. So he's not eating now. He's taking his job. So
right.
You know, it's for me, it's about, you know, the audience asking, is he going to be able to retain his humanity amongst this? Not only is he going to survive, but retain his humanity. So I'm sorry that you lost the character at that point, but for me, it's, you know, the killing is a, like, it's, you know, I don't want to reduce it to kill or be killed, but certainly, you know, it's about survival in that situation, and hopefully the audience is asking what they would do in that situation, and it's, there's no easy solution.
Right, thank you.
Maybe as a comment there as well, I think, I mean, of course it's hard and it's difficult to imagine to be there, and what I like about the character is that he kind of, although he's under such physical and psychological violence and pressure, that he at least doesn't lose his agency in support, in terms of that he's kind of acting, although everything is trying to suppress everything he has as an individual, and because of all the circumstances, that at least he has some agency to react in whatever way it is. And of course, it's morally, it's hard, but
Morally, it's very complex, but yeah, he's still, for me, he's able to survive, so yeah.
There was a question there.
Thank you for the film. I think like there are not too many films about human trafficking, and what we can see now is just like the top of the iceberg. Me myself, I'm working on the field with human trafficking survivors. I really like the point on your film where they are really working with the fish, and then they ask themselves, where is all this fish going? For who is this job that I'm being forced to do it? And all this fish is going to us. And I have this, like, I don't know, like a contribution or something, that also like the victims are saying why we are not showing that people is contributing to this ring of human trafficking. Because I'm eating the chocolates now here in Europe. We don't have to go to South of Asia. It's also here in Germany. I'm consuming chocolates that are made from the exploitation of children in Ivory Coast. Or I'm consuming, I don't know, like these nail studios, Thai massage, and all these places, or all the prostitution rings that we see here and the Bullochstrasse. Like, can you comment some, a little more about if you go with your research further, where this fish was going, and how we normal people, what we can do also to stop this kind of powerful millionaire industry without exploiting people?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think what we can do is be conscious consumers, and as part of our impact campaign with the film, we're a little bit unorganized because everything's happened quite quickly with it. But as part of our impact campaign, it's going to be about, you know, educating, hopefully, where they're coming from and where it's going. It's already starting to happen a little bit, I feel like, but absolutely being conscious consumers is one way we can make a difference. And, you know, if we're buying, you know, here, like in the West, if we're buying pet food for our dog or something like this, we have to make sure that it's not at the expense of these poor guys being exploited out, you know, in the Gulf of Thailand or somewhere like this. So, yeah, for me, if the film can make that kind of difference, you know, when we do this campaign around it, that's, I think, something that we can do, and hopefully put some, you know, pressure, you know, to... I mean, the Thai fishing industry is so huge, it's enormous, and it's not just... you know, the fish, you know, catching these trash fish out at sea. It's like they feed the prawn industry, which, you know, exports internationally. So for us, it's going to be about doing as best we can to educate exactly the pathways of these products coming out of Southeast Asia and out of Thailand and where they're ending up, but trying to trace them back and hopefully allowing us to become more conscious consumers.
There was a question up there somewhere.
Hello. I just have a quick question. Is the trawler an actual accurate representation of a crawler, and was it functional, and was the crew able to operate it? Like the cast, I mean.
Yeah, well, a lot of the cast are actually fishermen. Like the Burmese workers worked on trawlers for 5-7 years. So Dan, the captain, he plays the captain in the film, he worked on a trawler as a child. So they brought a lot of experience about working on the trawlers and trawler life to us. The trawler in the film, it's almost functional. but there's so many variations on the trawlers in Thailand. This is probably a slightly smaller version. A lot of them have, you know, anywhere from kind of 20 to 40 workers, and the process of fishing is different. This one, the idea behind this one is the nets kind of scrape the bottom of the ocean floor and stuff and pick everything up from that. But there's so many variations in Thailand of fishing process, I guess. But yeah, it's almost close. Like, it's a proper trawler, like, yeah. Its fishing infrastructure is probably not as good as what it should be, but you could catch fish.
Are there any more questions?
Fantastic film, by the way. I was interested in your kind of process for getting this film produced. I just know that, you know, the industry in Australia is not fantastic for kind of, especially foreign language films. Could you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, I don't know how we got finance for the film. I think we just got lucky with Screen Australia, who's our main financier. I don't know. I think it's a lot harder, like, today to get finance for a foreign language film in Australia. But we had some industry support as well. Like, we had a really great French sales agent and Film Victoria, MIF Premier Fund, some partners in Canada. So we had a pretty good package, I would say. Because of the films, like, it's not gonna, you know, make $100 million. so you know, we're quite lucky. We just all feel lucky that we're able to make it. But yeah.
Also, how'd you go directing in like a second language or another language?
Yeah, it was fine. All the guys are really good. Sami, the young lead actor, he spoke kind of reasonable English, so he was all right. Dam and the Burmese, none of them really spoke any English at all, but it was fine. Like, I had time in pre with them to work and flesh out the scenes and they were just all awesome. Like, yeah, just, I think the key to good directing is good casting, so as long as you get the casting right, yeah, you're on the right track.
There's another question up there, just in the front.
Yeah, so congratulations for the film. I really liked it. And now I have a question which is related to what he was talking about, is the language. Was it hard for you, for example, when you were shooting a scene and they were talking in another language, could you really feel the emotion and everything because you didn't have a translation? No.
I had translators to help me. I wasn't trying to.
No, while you were working, but for example, when you had a scene.
Yeah.
And when you were listening to the way that they pronounce the thing, was it hard to really pick up on, you know, how they accentuated the word and stuff?
Sure. Like, I think because we rehearse the scenes a lot, and so although I didn't know. Like, I pretty much knew what they were saying at the particular times in scene because I was able to, after a certain amount of time, you know, work that out and talking to my translator and, you know, it took a contribution from the cast as well. Like, you know, I wanted to be quite open with how I directed it and encourage, you know, these guys as well, especially because they're so experienced on the trawlers. So, It was okay. Like, I felt like I was picking up the nuances with what they were saying, you know, well. And all the translators were really great, like, and spoke, you know, really great English. So I think it was fine. Yeah.
And were the actors really sticking to the script, like the text dialogues?
Sometimes not.
Okay.
What was better?
It's just a both because, you know, it's written in English, so when you take on a language like Khmer or Thai, you know, even though it's the same thing, the meanings are different. So I wanted, it's particularly like even with the Thai dialogue, like, you know, I wanted it to be authentic and natural. So, you know, I have to be open to listening to what these guys thought at the particular time when we were filming and with scenes and... So yeah, that was part of the process involving them in, you know, this is what I think I want to do. How do you feel? Would you say this? Would you say that? You know, as long as we retain the kind of emotion and the kind of growth within each scene, it seemed to work well.
You just had your premiere a couple of days ago, and you've been here with your cast, and you've been in Berlin before at Berlin Antillens. And maybe you can tell, because we don't have so much time left, a bit how the last days were and how it is to be back in Berlin, and as well the film is screened another time, so you can tell people that the last screening is, I think, on Sunday 17th.
I think it's sold out though.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you're still lucky on the day.
My experience at the Talent Campus was awesome. It's so great. It was so great to come here and hang out with, you know, other filmmakers, particularly because, you know, it wasn't just like directors or producers. It was everybody. So this is a great thing and a very unique thing in the world, I think. So I really loved it here, and chatting and learning from, you know, my peers, and it was amazing. And yeah, coming back to Berlin is very special, of course. Like, it's an amazing film festival and we're honored to be a part of it. And I couldn't think of a better place to premiere the film. And I had my cast here and they were great. And yeah, everyone, and Berlin's such a cool city to hang out. It's nice, so yeah.
Maybe is there a last question or comment from you there, up there, and then here, and then I think we have to go in the foyer.
Sorry. Thanks. I don't know how much of that you heard.
I heard all of it.
Okay, great. I think what you were saying about one of the outcomes of the film, or one of the places where the film could have real value, is in Cambodia, touring it around. Maybe not so much in the cities, but like you say, the communities, more rural areas, the vulnerable people that might be tempted to go into this choice or process. But is there a worry, either from yourself or from the family, about potential dangers or repercussions that they might face in trying to discourage people from going into this type of work, from like the local beneficiaries or people that are trafficking, you know, Cambodian citizens, I imagine, do benefit financially from this industry.
Yeah, I guess that will be a concern, but you know, we can't sit on our hands, and you know, like I think the way we do it will be really important. So just working out how to do it in the right way will take some involvement from either NGOs in Cambodia, we're not sure, but yeah, we have to show it in Cambodia. It's the most important place to show the film for me, so we just have to find a way to do it in the right way. I think it will be okay, to be honest. Like, I think these brokers are very much living, you know, they're not involved in these communities and they don't have a great reputation as it is. So as long as we don't put anyone in danger, of course, that's paramount. But we have to do something. We just got to work out the best way to do it.
Last question or comment of you?
It's just a comment about the dramaturgy. I was sure during the film that the knife would be used to kill the crew, but you didn't. But I like the idea that he took a bone from a victim, I think. It's even human bone to kill these guys. Well, because in the Chekhov theory of dramaturgy, well, when you see a knife at the beginning in the first act, you have to kill in the last act with it. So, but I like the idea with the bone.
Well, the as sad as this is, like, a lot of the survivors talked about what would come up in these nets, and a few times, like, bodies came up in the nets, and so, you know, I kind of used that as inspiration, and obviously it's very symbolic as well, and so, yeah. Knife next time.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Rod. I think we'll stick around a little bit.
Okay, thank you, everyone.